Oh, morning. It's a bit tall. I think it's been made for Andrew. No, I can't move it. That's all right. That's fine. Don't worry. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. I'll just have to do this. Ah, thank you. I'm not used to feeling short, but yeah, I did just then. Awesome. So, as I said, my name's Owen. I have the privilege of speaking today. So I'm going to be talking this morning about overcoming sin and the devil. So it's a topic that's been on my heart for a little while. About a month ago, I started to think, what should I preach on? Start a month in advance, it's probably a good thing to do. And I was sitting in the common room at college, and I just felt God saying, I want you to talk about overcoming sin. And I thought, that's quite a tough one. I mean, I'm 19. A lot of you are probably a lot older than I am, have a lot more experience than I do. And to have some young whippersnapper come and tell you how to overcome sin in your life, I thought maybe they wouldn't take it in the best way. So I decided to go down a different path. And then I was in the shower about 2 weeks on. I think maybe Andrew said that the best things come in the shower. Was it you who said that? No. Oh. Anyway, I find for me, the shower is where a lot of sort of deep spiritual connections come. And so I got called to go to Ephesians 4. And so I looked in Ephesians 4, and the first word that jumped out to me was put a guard on your lips. And Ephesians 4 is all about how to live a Christian lifestyle and how to overcome sin. So I thought, that's probably a pointer, that's probably what I should be talking about. So then I got called to 1 John 2:14, and that's really where I'm going to start. For all you who don't know, most theologians say that they don't know the intended readers of the letter. However, mostly we know that they were Christians, that they were well known to the author, and they were struggling with problems of false teaching, which was coming from people within their Christian community. So it starts like this, 1 John 2:14. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So I just want to pick up the fathers, young men. When John talks about young men and fathers, he's not just talking to young males in the church. So if you're female or you don't consider yourself young, don't switch off. Sometimes when the Bible talks about young and old, it's talking about it chronologically. So I am younger than my dad. Sometimes it's talking about it spiritually. But so what John is saying here, what the writer is saying, is he's talking to the whole church, but specifically he's talking to those who are newer in faith, and he's encouraging them and strengthening them that they have overcome the evil one through Christ. So don't switch off. So I thought probably the first thing that we should probably do before we look at overcoming is, what do we need to overcome? So what's the devil's plan? The devil's plan A is that you don't become a Christian. That's plan A for the devil. People all around Uckfield, they go through their lives, they don't become a Christian. You guys who are Christians, great, you have stopped plan A. The problem is, when the devil fails in plan A, he moves on to plan B. And plan B is to trip you up in your Christian life, to stop you being effective. At the prayer meeting, for those who were there, we were talking about, we prayed into China, and John gave us this just amazing update about what's happening in the church in China, and what on fire Christians are doing, the effect that they're having. And I've got to say, if everyone in the entirety of the world, if every Christian was as on fire and as effective as some of the guys in China, I don't think the devil would stand a chance in this town or any of it. So the devil's plan B is to trip you up and to stop you from being an effective Christian. I thought probably before we start coming on to ways of overcoming the evil one, which is where I really want to spend most of today, this morning, don't worry, you're not stuck here all day. Firstly, I thought I'm probably going to look at some good news. Good news. So, Dacia Sandero, all of you Top Gear watchers may get the joke. If you don't worry. Next one. Good news. The first piece of good news is temptation is not sin. It is not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert, and he was without sin. So don't worry. If you're going through periods of temptation, if you feel you're being tested, do not worry. Good news is, it is not a sin to be tempted. Second piece of good news. says he will, Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tested, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Isn't that awesome? That we can feel sometimes like we are going through some of the hardest stretches, but God believes in you. God will not test you above what you can bear. You, through that, it means when I'm going through periods of testing, when I'm going through struggles, I know I can overcome it because I know that God won't test me beyond what I can bear, which is just awesome. So, good news. Secondly, so ways of overcoming the evil one. I have 6 points on overcoming the evil one, which I have found through my life have just been so helpful. I first heard a talk a little bit like this at New Day when I first went in 2008. It was a guy called PJ Smythe. He's a South African guy, for all of you who don't know. And he was talking on overcoming sin, and it was really going through my mind. And so if you do listen to some of his talks from New Day 2008, I may have stolen one or two of his little things. But yeah, I just really felt that this was something to talk on. So the first thing is, don't be fooled by the outward appearance. So the thing about the devil is he wants to make sin look amazing and look wonderful to you. You're going through a hard patch, and he says, if you just say those words to them, if you just say those words to that person because you're angry, it'll make you feel so much better in yourself. That guy, he's really irritating you. He deserves a thump. If you just hit him, you'll feel so much better, and it'll make you feel so much more of a man. Everyone else in the group is doing it, so just do it. That's another one. That's one that, you know, I know I've struggled with from a young age. Going along with the crowd, following the crowd, you know, you're not fitting in, you're not feeling good. So the way you need to feel good about yourself is you go with what the crowd say. I did a little couple of pictures there. I'll just explain them. Hands up if you've seen the film Enchanted. Really? Oh, right, we got a number there. For you guys who don't know, it's a film about sort of princesses and getting married and stuff. And there are so many funny moments and quite some catchy songs. It's quite a guilty pleasure of mine. But it's a great film. It's a great film. It's a Disney film. It's like a live-action Disney film. And, of course, there is a princess, a beautiful princess, and a wicked stepmother. And as we all know, there is only one way that you can assassinate a Disney princess, and that is how? Apples. Apples. Why is everyone so healthy in Disney? If they gave them a poison chocolate bar, they wouldn't touch it. Do you think that the apple, the poisoned apple that the stepmother gave, looked rotten? Nope. No, it looked perfect. It was a juicy apple. I couldn't actually find a shot of the apple because in the film, they put little skull and crossbones on it to make you know that it is poisoned. So I got just a picture of a nice apple. So it was a perfect apple. But then someone, I think it was a chipmunk in the film, a talking chipmunk, Disney films, saves her. And so she does this, and the apple flies through the air, and it lands in this cyclist's helmet. And the cyclist's helmet just starts to dissolve like this apple is made out of acid. And as it goes, they all fall off their bikes. But I just thought, what a great analogy to what sin is like. It looks amazing on the outside, but is like acid inside. So first one, don't be fooled by the outward appearance. Second way, avoid places of temptation. Because what I found is when I was growing up, there are places we know that we're going to be tempted to sin. If you hang around with that group, you're going to want to follow the crowd. You're going to want to sin. If you have a problem with stealing, don't go near a place, a shop with bad security. If you are struggling with sexual temptation, pornography, don't be on your own in a room. Try and just avoid places of temptation. It makes it so much easier. There's a story, this one is from PJ Smythe, but I quite like it. The story of a man who had a chauffeur, and the chauffeur was getting very old, and he decided to retire. So he had to get a new chauffeur, and he got 10 guys who came and tried to go for this position. And the chauffeur sat in the back with the rich man who owned the Rolls Royce, and driver one got in the car, and rich man said, I want you to take me up that hill, because he knows that there's a hairpin stretch, blind corner, around there, and I want you to drive me around that area. So driver one, he goes up fast, he's hugging the turn of the corner, he's saying, I'm going to show him how good a driver I am. He's going fast, he can't see, he goes round, and they make it safely, but the rich guy in the back's just doing this. I've just started driving, so I've seen that face. My dad did that face a couple of weeks ago on a roundabout. it was a bit scary. I'm not an unsafe driver. Driver one whizzes round. Driver two whizzes round. Driver three, four, five, etc. Then driver 10 gets in the car. And driver 10 starts driving slowly, and he goes round just hugging the inside of the corner and gets him safely round. Who do you think got the job? Driver 10. Don't go near the edge. If there's a place that you know that you're going to struggle, if the rocks are sliding in the corner, don't go near the corner. Stay away from the edge. Come in as close as you can. Makes it so much easier. Number 3, learn how to run. It's Usain Bolt there, just in case you didn't know what running was. The Bible says, flee what is evil and cling to what is good. In Genesis 39:9, we see Joseph. Joseph is a guy who's living in Egypt at this point, and he's become the head servant in this massive house owned by a guy called Potiphar. And Genesis 39 says, and though Potiphar's wife spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the house servants were inside. He caught him by the cloak and said, come to bed with me. And he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Joseph got many things wrong in his life. Joseph, he was proud. He boasted to his brothers to such an extent that they sold him to slavery, that they wanted to kill him. But if there's one thing Joseph got right, and that was he knew what was right before God and what wasn't. And he knew that if he got into trouble in earthly ways, that was so much better than disobeying God's commandments. You know, if people thought that he was stupid by doing this, actually, probably he wouldn't have gone to jail as he later did. He would have continued being a servant. However, he would have known that he would have been dishonest to his master and dishonest to God. So he ran. I walked out of a situation just yesterday, actually. I work at Waitrose, for some of you who don't know. And I just had a really long day yesterday. And I know, personally, after a long day, I can get crabby. And I just had customer after customer, and I could feel it coming on. And I knew that if I'd stayed there, I probably would have said something that I regretted. I would have just said an off comment. Wouldn't have been probably that bad, but it wouldn't have been helpful to them, it wouldn't have been helpful to me, and it wouldn't have been helpful to God or honoring God. So I was just like, what am I going to do about this? And God really, as I said earlier, he gives you a way out. He gave me a way out there. He got one of the supervisors. One of the supervisors came over and said, oh, Owen, do you want to go for a break now? And I could just go up. I went into the toilet. I calmed down. And I went out of that feeling so much better. Learn how to run away from situations. If you're feeling like you're getting stuck in a situation, run away from it. Because we all know that after you do something wrong, maybe during the time it doesn't feel so bad, but afterwards there's guilt. And the guilt is a lot of the time more problematic than the sin at some points, when you're just stuck in that cycle of guilt. If you run away from it, it doesn't become a problem. Awesome. So, number 4. Don't be complacent. Delight yourself in God. There's a Spanish proverb that says, many temptations come to the idle, but few to the busy, which I think is a really good one. So I just want to look at Samuel, 2 Samuel 11. Sorry, I don't know why I pointed, I haven't got a lot there. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out who about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent his messengers to get her. So David, he sinned with Bathsheba. He committed adultery because he wasn't busy. He was just idle. He wasn't meant to be there. It says, purposefully says, at the time when kings go off to war. The Bible purposefully says that because he wasn't in the right place. He wasn't where God wanted him to be. The Bible says that David was a man after God's heart. He delighted in God. If you just read through the Psalms, you can just see through the good time, through the bad, David delighted in God. However, during this time, his gaze shifts and he gets idle in his position as king, and he gets an idol in his position on earth, and David stops delighting in the Lord. And the problems for David start before this. I mean, you can't just say that David woke up suddenly in the morning, decided not to go to war, and because of that, it was such a character shift that he just committed adultery. This has been brewing in his heart for a while. Don't let yourself get into that position. Don't let yourself become idle with the things that God has given you. I put here, don't get caught with your trousers down. Mainly because it was a little thing, because this morning I was going to wear these shorts. I know Dad's smiling because he knows this story. I was going to wear these shorts, and I woke up and put the shorts on, and I realized I'd left my belt at work in my locker. So I had to go to work to get it, because Dad said you don't want to be caught with your trousers down. Don't get caught with your trousers down in this situation. Don't get caught in a place where you can be tempted at a time when you are feeling idle and complacent in God. If you are passionate and on the ball for God, it's so much more difficult to sin to get into there. I was saying to Abe when we started preparing for this, if there's one time, most likely, sometimes it happens and that's problematic, but most likely, if there's one time in my whole year that I'm not going to get tempted, it's when I'm at New Day. Because, you know, you're purposefully, your mind is on God the whole time, 100%. And, you know, you go through New Day and you just have a great time. You're hanging around Christians. And I'm not saying we should get into a bubble, but that is the time when I'm least likely to be tempted, because my view is only on God. It's not really on anything else. So if our view is always on God, it becomes so much more difficult for the devil to sneak in there. I love that song, First Love. Is it Matt Redman, First Love? Stuart Townend? I'm looking to Tris because he knows music, but, well, I should as well. But no, it talks about an undignified love of Christ, dancing like a child. And if you, people who are not afraid to show their passion for God, are those, I personally think, I'm ready to just let it all out for God. I'm not being idle in God. Obviously, everyone's different. We don't all jump. We don't all shout. We don't all cry. But I've seen the most introverted people at New Day just on their knees or jumping for joy because of the pure fire in them. If the fire of your heart is strong, it's so much more difficult for the devil to get in there because there's just a wall that it can't get through. So number four, don't be complacent. Number five, be ruthless with the sins that you don't think will affect you. I started calling it small sins, but when I was talking with Aid, he said that obviously we want to make sure there is no small sin, there is no large sin. But we can sometimes think ourselves, that's why I put it in abbreviated commas, small sins, because sometimes we can think, oh, that one won't matter. You know, it's just I just swore once. I just said that bitchy comment to that person once. It's not really a massive deal. But As I heard before, small lions become big lions, and big lions eat people. It becomes so much more tricky. I've got a friend, Mark, who's now in Florida doing zookeeping. I think, you know, if you talk to him, he will tell you, small lion, not much of an issue. When you've got a massive lion who is protecting its pride, whew, you don't want to go near it. Although, actually, lionesses, I think, are the worst, I think, I heard. Lionesses are worse when they're protecting their young. But still, big lions eat people. Stay away from big lions. And the way you stay away from big lions is staying away from small lions. James 1:14 says, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." It starts with just desire. It starts with our heart not being where it is meant to be. Our view is shifted. And then that gives birth to sin. And then from sin, that grows and grows until it has a stronghold over us. Strongholds are called strongholds because they have strongholds over us. When you've got a stronghold in your life and it becomes a habit, it is so much harder to break. I reckon we talked about, you know, breaking chains a lot. It's quite almost a Christian cliché term, isn't it, really, breaking chains. But if you've got very thin strands of cotton, and you tied me up, I won't do it, but if you tied me up with thin strands of cotton, you tied me about 20 times, I reckon I could probably break free of those quite easily. If you tied me 50 times, probably the same. It wouldn't be that hard to break free. But if you tied me 200, 300, 400 times, suddenly I'm as tightly bound as if you had just put iron chains on me in the first time. First time. Don't let yourself get tied up with the small sins, because it escalates. It just snowballs. And I had this myself in school. Growing up, it's, you know, a lot of the time in school, there's a society of swearing. And it starts with small words you don't think that matter. But after a while, it grows, and it just becomes habitual. And it's something that it's taken a long time to break that habit for me, actually. Young men and older men watching pornography starts with soft things. But by the end, you're trapped, and you don't want to talk to anyone about it because it has just become so embarrassing. Be ruthless with the sins you don't think matter. It is so much easier to get out of the sins when you don't think they matter. Don't let yourself get tied into them. Don't let them tempt you. Don't let it get a strong hold over you, because once it becomes a habit, it is so much harder. And finally, stay accountable to others. No sin can have a hold on you that others people won't understand. Your community group leaders will understand it, or the elders, if you want to speak to them, they'll understand. They're not going to say, "No, you didn't. That's disgraceful. How dare you leave this church?" They're going to say, "I know, it's tough. Life is tough. It's hard. I've been there." Sin is powerful when it's a secret. Sin is powerful when it's you feel embarrassed by it and you don't want to talk to anyone about it. It's so much easier when you share it with someone, when you're accountable to someone that you trust. The first time I was actually saw this was New Day 2008, actually, and I was praying with Stephen Peachman, a lot of you know him, and I just started pouring out my heart, and it was the first time I'd ever actually told anyone about a lot of the things that I was struggling with, and it was so much easier because he helped me so much over those next 2 years, because he could just keep me accountable. He said, "How are you doing with this? How are you doing with that?" And accountability, it doesn't have to be something that you put into your routine. And, you know, I'm going to meet with this person and we're going to talk about my week. It can be something that you just do off the hoof. Me and Tris, we watch a lot of TV, and at the moment we're going through just TV series. And a lot of the time, we stay accountable to each other. So, you know, if something comes on the TV and it's not healthy, normally we'll look at each other, we'll give each other a little sort of awkward turtle. You know, we'll just look at each other, and then when it's gone off the screen, we'll just carry on watching. That's really great, I think, that, you know, as two guys, as brothers, we can just sort of help each other through that. And it means that we don't both sort of walk into sin because of it. So accountability doesn't have to be something in a routine, but find someone, stay accountable to others, because it's such a burden off your mind. Get someone you trust, someone you know and you trust, and just stay accountable to them. Because they've probably gone through the same things as you have. Sorry. I didn't get a glass of water and my mouth is very dry. Lastly, thank you, Nick. Sorry, that wasn't meant to be a comment, but thank you. Lastly, it's not on there, but there is forgiveness. That's the main thing. That's what I really wanted to come on to. There's forgiveness, no matter how bad you think it's got. There are people here sitting here and thinking, "Great, you know, you give me ways to overcome sin. Good. I'm already in that habit. I'm already tied with those strings. It's like I'm in chains. I'm embarrassed about it, and I don't want to be accountable to someone because they don't know." But the best truth is that Jesus saves, and that Jesus breaks chains. And this morning, you can have those chains obliterated and broken completely, as if they've never been there before. As I said earlier, some sins are strongholds. But the Bible says that you are no longer a slave to sin. You don't have to stay in that stronghold. Sometimes we feel like we're just caved in, like there's a tower around us and we can't get out. There's a door, and that door is grace. When Jesus died for us, he broke the power of sin over our lives. And because of that, we can walk free this morning. All of you, no matter what you're going through, you can walk out of it. So I just want to come to a close there. And we're just going to ask the band to come up, and we're just going to have a sing. And as we sing, just let the words soak over you at the start. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Let him point to things in your life that you know aren't healthy or just started to become, get a grasp, or things that you actually have become strongholds. There's three really big ones that I was praying about earlier I felt called to, and that was those who have let themselves become idle, those who have strongholds in their lives, and those who have guilt and condemnation for the sins, and they really need peace. So just as the band sing, just let the words rush over you, let the Holy Spirit work in your life, and then I'll let Aid decide what he wants to do afterwards.